Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. A few years ago, the film The Post may have been simply another historical drama by director Steven Spielberg. However, in today's political climate, there are eerie parallels with the time surrounding the Pentagon Papers in the early 1970s. In fact, Spielberg himself thought making this movie was so important, he wrapped production in 9 months.
Meryl Streep stars as the Washington Post owner Katharine Graham and Tom Hanks as editor Ben Bradley. The film depicts how The Post and The New York Times published excerpts from the top secret Pentagon Papers. Those papers revealed the U.S. government knew the Vietnam War was lost long before forces officially were pulled out. Many soldiers continued to be deployed there since admitting American defeat was not an option.
Film contributor Dave Lurson joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to discuss the film's performances, its impact for young audiences, and how a historical film can deliver tension while leading to an inevitable outcome.
In 1971, the owners and staff of the New York Times and the Washington Post braved imprisonment, fines, and bankruptcy by publishing excerpts from the Pentagon Papers. These were top-secret documents that showed, among other things, that the U.S. government knew that the Vietnam War was lost as early as 1965, but escalated the war anyway. Since admitting American defeat was unthinkable, Americans would continue to be sent into the jungle to die. In The Post, director Steven Spielberg dramatizes the press's courageous response to the government's attempt to suppress the truth.
This is the first film that Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep have worked together on, which is surprising considering how long they've both had their careers in Hollywood. But do you think this dynamic of two protagonists worked to the film's benefit?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, first of all, because that does reflect the reality of it, that you had two protagonists in real life, the editor, Ben Bradley of the Washington Post, and Katharine Graham, the publisher and primary owner of the newspaper. And as the movie shows, I mean, she had some reasons to be concerned about going for this story. I mean, first of all, she moved in the same social circles as many of the people implicated by the Pentagon Papers. And then there was the problem of not just loss of advertising revenue, which is something that affects newspapers doing controversial work, but a whole kind of initial public offering scheme afoot that the bankers and investors might pull out of if they didn't like the direction the paper was going into. So there was conflict and tension going on. Both the actors handled their parts very well. Meryl Streep, of course, what can you say about Meryl Streep? She can play just about any kind of female character. Could probably do a male impersonator quite well, too, if she was ever asked to do that. Tom Hanks had the opportunity to be what Tom Hanks can be, a good-hearted yet kind of flinty sort of guy, determined to do the right thing. Meryl Streep in this particular role is a very patrician upper-class woman born to expensive China teacups and silverware and probably thoroughbred horses out in the stable. And, she was forced to take charge. And I think that aside from the whole First Amendment, Pentagon Papers aspect of this, it's a story about how the role of women has changed in American society. In 1971, the idea of a woman actually having hands-on control of something as major as the Washington Post was still kind of, well, you know, yeah, her grandfather started the paper, she inherited it, but, you know, we're the old boys network, and we know best. We can, you know, tell her what to do and placate her, and she'll have her moods, but we'll just kind of work around her. And one of the things the movie shows is that she eventually stood up to this, and again, another one of these many breakthroughs for women on the road to where we are today.
Yeah. For people familiar with Meryl Streep's typical powerhouse roles, this was definitely more nuanced. It wasn't your typical matriarch you see played by Streep for a majority of the film until she found that power and took the stance against all these men around her.
Well, yeah, again, the enormous versatility that she is capable of. I don't think we would have time to ever do a thorough start-to-finish overview of her career. There's been so much. She's so prolific and a treasure to the field of acting.
Yeah, the particular boardroom scene where she's allowed in and, you know, has a speech prepared, pointers made, yet cannot speak up or grasp the opportunity to be presented. And then her advisor says the exact same things that they planned for her to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets accepted and delivered. I thought that was a particular moment that shows, you know, the dynamic of men and women still today.
Well, yes. I mean, there's still some of that, though not as nakedly or obviously or as
blatant,
much
yeah.
of it or blatantly. But again, at that time, the thing is that nobody, well, I suppose aside from the feminist women's movement of that period, but mainstream society didn't really question this very much yet. And this was something to come. I mean, we have made a lot of progress in many areas in our societies since that time, and he was an example of it.
Yes. Tom Hanks' portrayal of Ben Bradley was something that he put his unique spin on, because other actors have played this man before. Do you think it was not necessarily a diluted way, because there was a certain way he spoke that can't exactly be put down to a T, but he managed to put his own spin, yet it's still a Tom Hanks characteristic? Do you think that we'll always see Tom Hanks as Tom Hanks, no matter what character he plays?
Well, I'm going to venture into controversy. I tend to think that Tom Hanks is one of those actors who's very good at playing himself in a way. Unlike Meryl Streep, again, the enormous versatility, I think Tom Hanks has shown a more limited range. I mean, there's, from the two points of the spectrum, exactly how to define that. But I think that Tom Hanks tends to work within a certain field. He can be emphasized a little bit of one thing or another. But I never forget entirely that I'm seeing Tom Hanks whenever I see a Tom Hanks movie.
Right.
And that's not a criticism of him. There have been many great actors. Cary Grant was always pretty much Cary Grant, and Humphrey Bogart, and you can go on and on about that. That's not a bad thing. But it's a different kind of acting than a Meryl Streep. It's basically you have developed a persona. It's a persona that's very effective for certain kinds of roles. It's a persona the public likes. And so why not?
Exactly. This movie also had a fantastic ensemble cast that all worked well together. I don't feel like anyone took any screen time or power away from each other, but we have Tracy Letts, who's also had a good, successful 2017, Matthew Rhys, Sarah Paulson, Bob Odenkirk, David Cross, Carrie Coon, Pat Healy, to name a few. There's so many people that you recognize in this film.
Yeah, well, Spielberg certainly has no trouble attracting A-list cast, whether they are in supporting roles or minor roles or not. And everyone in the movie, to me, felt very believable. Believable in terms, of the time, again, 1971. I mean, people behaved a little bit differently than now. I mean, there are differences, and I think that the actors, well, most of whom are old enough to maybe remember these things too, but if not, they certainly did a very good job of putting on the not just the clothing of the era, but the whole manner of being of that time.
And we can both agree that Spielberg is probably a master juggler of moving parts and was probably the ideal person to take this on and do it. And he managed to balance complex reality and history into a compelling drama. Like, even though we ultimately know the outcome, there's still a tension that is palpable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are probably other ways that this movie could have been made as a non-documentary dramatization of these events. Spielberg, I think, has a great gift for understanding how to take a story like this out of the pages of history and make it entertaining for a wider audience, how to build a sense of suspense over things whose outcome should really be known to anybody who would, take the time to buy a ticket. If he would do, the Chronicle of World War II, we'd be a little bit up in the air as to who won the war, probably, because he would find a way of making the outcome very suspenseful. So I think it's a great thing that a director of that kind of caliber thought to make this movie. One of the things, too, about this, I mean, if this movie had been released a couple of years ago, I don't think it would have quite the same resonance as it does right now, because there are some eerie parallels between then and now politically. You had a president at the time, Richard Nixon, who was, paranoid and who basically hated the mainstream news media. And much of what was going on here involved Nixon's campaign against the media that was critical of him. And we can certainly see some similarities between the situation then and today.
And although there's no denying the quality of this film, it's very speedy, 9-month production. I'm a little conflicted with, you know, does it make it a film for this time and not merely a reflection on history? And, you know, was it either an advantage or disadvantage ultimately if we look at this film how many years from now when it was made so quickly for today?
I think that the movie, and it's always kind of, you know, put on your sorcerer's cap and look into your crystal ball. How are things going to look in 20 years' time? But I'm going to do that now and say that this movie will work 20 years from now, even if all the events in the news of 2017-18 are forgotten about. Because it is an enduring kind of story of human characters, of a struggle between the necessity of a free press and those in authority who would want to thwart that for their own purposes. I don't think that that kind of a problem is going to go away. It happens all across the world in other countries. It will continue to happen off and on here in America. So I think in a certain sense, this is a story for the ages in which a free press triumphed over authoritarian tendencies and established the important role or reinforced the important role that the media can have in holding the government and other, you know, authority figures for that matter to account.
So it's an earned message, not just Oscar bait.
Yes.
What I also really enjoyed about this film was that it brought back a romanticism of the press and making papers. You know, it's a far cry from His Girl Friday, but,
right,
you know, the fact that they're setting the letters, the world of the machine, and you yourself can attest to that paper production is not what it once was, just the mechanics and the physical machines and people mm-hmm. involved.
Yes, well, when I got into the business starting the paper that became the Shepherd Express, we used hot wax and X-Acto knives. And a manual typewriter. So, yes, things have gone a long way. The newsroom of the Washington Post, you know, kind of reminds me of what the Milwaukee Journal looked like when I was there in the early 1980s, a little smaller than the Washington Post. But, you know, the same kind of thing, the crowded desks, people smoked cigarettes still. You know, the clang of typewriters was still heard occasionally in the 80s when I was there. So, yeah, different kind of a world. Easy to romanticize, you know, but the romanticism has some basis in the reality that people at newspapers like that, many of them felt that they had a mission of some kind. Many of them felt that they were competing with other newspapers, even here in Milwaukee, though the Sentinel and the Journal are owned by the same company. They were in different newsrooms, and they were competing with one another to get local stories and so on. So that sense of competition in the case of this movie, The Post versus The New York Times, as a motivating factor, the pride in craft and the sense that what you were doing was really important and was going to reach an enormous number of people and have an important influence. Nowadays, it's not really clear who has an influence over what anymore because media, social and otherwise, it's so fragmented, it's very hard to know where people are getting their ideas and information from. But I guess the role of the media is to hope that in whatever fragmentary manner you're reaching people, that you are putting out something that is worthwhile.
The importance of audience exposure to this film is not only timely, but it's also a reflection on history perhaps can repeat itself when the lesson's not learned. And when I saw this recently, I was probably, I mean, I took a general scope and it was dim, but I was probably the youngest person in the audience. And I knew I was in the right place because of the age group with the people. And there was also a trailer for Mamma Mia 2 before this played. But, you know,
we must have been at the same screening.
Perhaps, yeah. So do you think this film would do a good job in drawing a new generation of audiences to the seat that did not live through this experience indirectly?
I certainly hope so, because I would hate to think that it's a movie for, you know, people of my age and up. I mean, I was 11 years old when these things happened, but I was a precocious political junkie. I actually watched the Democratic Convention on TV from gavel to gavel all day long, so I was just deeply into this kind of stuff, unlike most people my age. But, I mean, people, the generation before me, yeah, I mean, this was just a huge topic of conversation. It would be a shame. It would be a shame if this is a nostalgia for people who were, you know, adults in the 1970s looking back on times gone by, because it is a very relevant theme for a film. I don't know how you can guarantee reaching different kinds of audiences. There's no magic way of doing that anymore. But I hope that younger people will come to the movie and look at it as, yeah, it's kind of cool retro. Look at the cars and the weird neckties and everything, you know, of the characters. But there's something really important that this movie is saying that it applies to the world we live in today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express newspaper, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about the new film, The Post.